Today's shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches. Today is Zayin Tammuz when I'm dictating this, and it is my mother's yard site, Imi Morasi, Chanabas Mei Avram. We're learning the shir Le'ili Nishmasa. We begin about 8-10 lines down from the top, V'hodit Nan. Yesterday we had a discussion of the famous machlokas, how many meals you're supposed to have on Shabbos. The standard understanding is that you have three meals on Shabbos. You have the Friday night meal, you have the Shabbos lunch meal, and you have Shalosh Shudas. Tosus tells us over here, based upon the Gemara, that B'mincha Matzil and Mazon Sudas Achas, that Mikan Mashman Dizman Achilo Shlishis B'Shabbos, the time to eat Sudas Shlishis on Shabbos, Himina Mincha L'mala. It should be in the afternoon for Mincha L'mala, not to just break up the Shabbos meal and have two meals. That involves several halachic problems, and the proper way to have Shalosh Shudas is in the afternoon, either after Mincha Gedola, some suggest after Mincha Ketana, some suggest after Mincha, before Davening Tfilas Mincha. In any event, those are the three meals, the standard understanding. Then we have the opinion of Rav Chitka, who says that there's a fourth meal that a person is supposed to have on Shabbos, and that's known as Sudas Rav Chitka. He has one meal on Friday night and three meals during the day. Again, this was based upon the different opinions as to how you understand Hayom, 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 the three times it's Hayom. So it means three times all Shabbos or three times during the day. In any event, we pick up the Gemara about 8-10 lines down. We learn in the following Mishnah in Peah. It says, Mishiesh lamazon shtei sudos. If a person has only enough food for two sudos, so he's a very poor person, lo yitom in a tamchui. Such a person is not entitled to go and take from the tamchui. He has two sudos. The tamchui, Rashi tells us, is ka'or gedol. It's a large plate, literally a food collection system that they had. They would go around to the houses, and this one would give a little soup, this one would give a little bit of fish, this one would give a little bit of meat, and they would go put it together into different plates, and they would give it to the poor people. They would each get two meals. So if you had two meals that you weren't entitled to take for that day, you'd come back the next day. But if you didn't have two meals, you're entitled to take from this tamchoy. If you didn't have mazon arba'esrei, the person didn't have 14 meals worth, lo yitom in a kupa. Rashi explains that the kupa is mos hein lefinis aniyim b'nei tovim. There were people that unfortunately were down on their luck, but they were normally able to support themselves. And now, if they didn't have 14 meals worth, which is 1 week's worth, so then they were entitled to take from this kupa, this community fund, and they were embarrassed to go to take the meals from the tamchoy. So they, if they didn't have 14 meals, they were entitled to go and take the money and to purchase the 14 meals. And if you had more than 14 meals, then you weren't allowed to take. Rashi explains that if you did take, if you had, gozel aniyim, you were stealing from the poor people. So again, if you were very poor and you had no food for even two meals, then you could take from the tamchoy. If you were normally of more means and now you're down on your luck and you didn't have 14 meals, then you're allowed to take from the kupa. Now, who's the author of this Mishnah? The Gemara says, Mani. Lo Rabbanon, Lo Rechitka. Doesn't seem to fit either the opinion of the Rabbanon or the opinion of Rechitka. Why not? E Rabbanon, if we're talking about the opinion of the Rabbanon, so then you should be entitled to three meals on Shabbos. It should have said you have 15 meals in the week. Chamsrei Havyan. And if you want to tell me this is the opinion of Rechitka, E Rechitka, Shisrei Havyan. It should have said 16 meals. So it doesn't seem to fit. 14 doesn't fit with either of those two opinions. So when it says Leolam Rabbanon, actually, this is the opinion of the Rabbanon. Say 15 meals. Three meals on Shabbos. The Amrina Lay, because we tell the person who's Nebuch in need over here, my debayis lemecho bafuke shabsa achle bishata. That which you're normally going to eat on Friday afternoon before Shabbos starts, wait, delay till Shabbos starts, have that as your extra meal for Friday night, and then the two meals that you're given on Shabbos for Shabbos, so have them Shabbos morning and Shabbos afternoon, and this way you'll have the three meals. So this could fit out, even according to the opinion of the Chacham, so you need three meals on Shabbos. You just rearrange your schedule so you don't have the Friday afternoon meal before Shabbos starts. Gemara says, Leim Rabbanon hi v'lo Rav Chitka. So therefore, this Mishnah Peah only goes according to the Chacham. It doesn't go according to Rav Chitka. Gemara says, no, afilu tema Rabbi Chitka. This could even go according to the opinion of Rav Chitka. Why is that? Demarina lei, because we can say to this poor person, Mai de boy islamecha b'male Shabsa, that which you're going to go eat on male Shabsa, that means on Friday morning, achle l'urta, wait to eat till Friday night. And now you'll have that extra meal that you didn't eat on Friday, and you can have that on Shabbos with the other two meals that we give you for Shabbos, so you can have a total of four meals on Shabbos, and therefore not a problem. Of course, that's really a little bit unfair. Are we asking this person, b'chula yomah, demale Shabbos, all day Friday, but tanisa musfina late, that the guy should fast, you're not going to have his first meal till after Shabbos starts? So that can't be right either. Elohomani, Rabbi Akivi, You know what this Mishnah goes like in Peah? It doesn't go like either Rav Chitku or the Rabbanon specifically. It goes like the opinion of Rav Akiva. What is that? The Amar Akiva has a famous rule. He says, if a person is very poor, asei Shabbat chochol. So don't honor the Shabbos by having extra food, extra meals, extra delicacies if you can't afford it. Rather, you should have a peanut butter sandwich and not have meat and chicken and all sorts of delicacies on Shabbos if you can't afford it. Better that you should not take tzedakah than go and rely upon people to give you tzedakah to honor the Shabbos. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. And therefore, we're talking about a poor person. So therefore, he won't have the three meals that the Chacham say on Shabbos. He won't have the four meals that Rav Chitka says he has to have on Shabbos because he's a poor person. And he'll only have two meals on Shabbos. That's enough to get by. And it's preferable to just get by than to take tzedakah to honor the Shabbos. That's the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva was extremely poor. And he said this mistama about himself and as well about other poor people. Mark Atina says, well, now in this Mishnah in Peah, it said there earlier in the Mishnah, Ein pachas in la'ani ha'over mimokom l'mokom. It says that you're not allowed to give less to a poor person who goes from place to place. He's not sleeping over, but he's going from place to place, so you have to give him a certain amount of food for that day. Mikikar, you give him a loaf of bread. When a loaf of bread is worth a certain amount of money based upon the prices, bepunjon, it's worth a punjon. Rashi explains that a punjon is echod miyud beiz bedinor. It's 1/12 of a dinar, which is 1/48 of a sela. Therefore, punjon in a sela. And you do this when you can buy wheat. Me arba son, 4 son of wheat is a sela. So that's how much bread you have to give this poor person if he's not staying overnight, Rashi says. Now, Sheino lon belaila etzlam. He's not sleeping over. If he's sleeping over, lon, so then you also have to provide him nostin lo parnosas lina. You also have to give him something to stay overnight. What does that mean? The Gemara will tell us in a few moments. That means you have to provide him a place to sleep, a bed, and you also have to provide him some sort of a pillow that you can put his head on. The Gemara will say this in a moment. And even that's parnosas lina. Vim shavas, and he's spending Shabbos in the city, so then you have to give him nostin mazon shalosh sudas. You have to give him enough for 3 meals. Oh, now, that seems to certainly be like the opinion of the Chachamim. Lem Rabbanon hi v'lo Rabbi Chitka. So this certainly looks like it's the opinion of the Chachamim and not Rabbi Chitka. So Gemara says, no, this could even be Rabbi Chitka. Li'olam Rabbi Chitka. You know why? Kigon de'ika suda ba'adeh. He already had 1 meal. So we give him 3 meals plus the 1 meal that he has. That's the 4 meals that a person should have. Tamrina Levi, tell this person, ha de'ika ba'adoch, achle, that meal that you have, go eat that one on Friday night, and then we'll give you 3 additional meals for the Shabbos day. Gemara says, so then when he's going to leave us, he's going to leave with nothing. So is that proper? Gemara says, no, don't worry. When he leaves, we'll give him a food for his leaving on Sunday as well. Now the Gemara says, okay, fine. So you learn the Mishnah either like the Chachamim, simple, or you could even learn it like Rav Chitka. But what did it mean when it said Parnassus Laila, my Parnassus Lina? What does it mean that you have to give the person something when he stays overnight, that you're going to give him Parnassus Lina? What is that? Ha-kiba le-sudas alayla. Can't be talking about food, Rashi says. So Gemara says, Amar Papa, it means purya. Purya means a bed. And uvesaja, Rashi tells levesaja means levad in some type of felt, fultra, that's the word felt, laniach tachas marashosav, that he can put underneath his head. He shouldn't sleep hard on the dirt floor. He should have some sort of a pillow, some sort of a cushion underneath his head. Tana Rabbanan, the Gemara tells us a braisa. Ka'aros sha'ocha ben arvis, telling us about the Kiddush of Shabbos, how you have to prepare for Shabbos, only for Shabbos, and not prepare for after Shabbos. So, if you're having food on Friday night, and you're going to need those dishes, those plates, for the next day, so, medichim lecho b'em shachos, you're allowed to wash the dishes on Friday night, so you'll have clean dishes for the Shabbos morning meal. Shachris, after the Shabbos morning meal, medichim lecho b'em b'tzarayim, so you're allowed to go and wash them, so you'll have food, nice clean plates for the afternoon. But Sarayim, Medichin Lecho Ben Mincha. If you want, you can go and wash the dishes from the early afternoon, so you still have them by the late afternoon, so you can have nice clean dishes by Mincha time when you're eating Shalosh Shudas. Min HaMincha Ve'elech, however, after Shalosh Shudas, after there's no time to eat anymore, Shuv Eino Medich, you're not allowed to go wash the plates anymore, because in this situation, you'll be preparing from Shabbos to Chol, and therefore you're not allowed to prepare from Shabbos to Chol. That's why in many places in the shuls, they leave the Shalosh Shudas on the table, and they go daven, and afterwards they clean up the Shalosh Shudas. Same thing in your house. There is a heter, if a person is still using the house, let's say he has Shalosh Shudas early afternoon, he wants to clear his table to go and use the table, so then you're allowed to, but if there's no usage of the table, and certainly there's no usage for the dishes, so you're only allowed to use on Shabbos for Shabbos. You can't use anything on Shabbos to prepare for Matzah Shabbos for Chol. However, the Gemara continues and says the Raisa avokosos, the cups, the kitunios is some sort of like a ladle, but sluchios is again some sort of a jug. All of these things which are for liquids, mediach v'holich kol hayom kulo, that you're allowed to go and wash out even towards the end of the day. Why? Lefisha ein keva lishasiya, because there is no end to drinking. A person that says, oh, that's the end of my drinking. A person gets thirsty and you're allowed to drink even late in the day and Shabbos afternoon, although there is a minhag that once you've already finished Shalosh Shudas, then you don't eat anymore if it's after the Shkia. You don't drink even anymore. But again, normal people, they still might be drinking at that point in time. So even though you finished your Shalosh Shudas, you still want to drink, you retain the right to do this. So therefore, you could wash out your cup so it's nice and clean. And before I should bring down over here an interesting idea that a person, therefore on a tainis, Tosos tells us that if a person, Levishain Kevalish Tia, Mikan Yeshlum, the bottom Tosos, Yeshlumo Belaila, Kishirotsa Lisanos Lamoch, if a person's having a fast day the next day, he should, La'achar Achila, he should declare, Afapishin Yochol Echol, Imlo Hisne, a person should always declare, I still reserve the right to eat before the tainis starts in the morning, right? We're going to coming up on Shavasa Batamas. So a person is not required to fast at nighttime for Shavuot Batamas, but once he finishes eating and goes to sleep, so the fast starts technically, unless he says, I reserve the right to get up early in the morning and eat. So that's in regards to eating. But in regards to drinking, based upon this, a person never gives up the right to drink. It's as if you tacitly said, I reserve the right to still drink. Again, it's always better for a person to actually verbalize and say, I am not accepting the fast upon myself yet. If I wake up early in the morning before the Zman of the Tain is starting, I reserve the right to eat and drink then. Mark continues and says, Amr Bishum and Pazi, Amr Bishum and Levi, Bishum Barkapara, Bishum and Pazi, Sending Bishum and Levi, Sending Barkapara, Call Hamikayim, Sholor Sudus Bishabis, if somebody eats all three meals on Shabbos. We're talking about doing it properly, and Shulchan Aruch says you really should have Lech HaMish in all three meals. People sometimes, I don't want to wash. No, that's crazy. Person, first of all, Achalta Vesavata Verachta, to do a mitzvah, Daraisa, Vabracha, there's only two. There's Birchas HaTorah and there's benching. So a person should always rush to do the mitzvah of Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos. He shouldn't get away with Bidyevit, you can be Yotzei with Mizonos or fruits or something like that. So a person should always wash on Lech HaMishnah all three meals on Shabbos, and that's what he said. Call him a Kayim, Shalosh Sudas B'Shabbos, somebody eats them properly, Nitzol Mishalosh Peronios. We'll see, Kineged the Hayom, so he's going to be safe from these three terrible things that could happen to a person. Mechevel Shemashiach, the difficulties of living during the days when Mashiach is coming, right before Mashiach comes, it's going to be a very difficult time. Oh, Medina shall get Hanim. And likewise, Rechmona Litzan, a person shouldn't have to be judged in Gehenna. And also, Melchem is Gog Magog. Gog was a Melech Magog. Gog was the king of a country called Magog. And there'll be this great war, again, around the time of Mashiach, called Melchem is Gog Magog, which will be a very difficult time for people to live in. So all of these three things, Chevli Mashiach, Dina Shogan, and Melchem is Gog Magog, you can prevent having the difficulties that will be entailed in those three things by being careful about eating all three meals on Shabbos. And this is brought down La'alocha in Shulchan Aruch. Now, where do we get each idea from? Mechevel Shemashiach, how do we know that you'll be saved by eating the three meals on Shabbos? Specifically, having Shalosh Shudas. It's easy. Everybody eats the Friday night meal. Everybody eats the Shabbos meal. Those are easy. You're hungry. But people, especially in the winter months, they say, I'm not that hungry for Shalosh Shudas. No, so a person should be dafka, stress the Shalosh Shudas. And in fact, that's why it's called Shalosh Sudos. When you eat Shalosh Shudas, you're demonstrating that the first two Sudos were also mitzvah. Otherwise, you could say the first two Sudos is not special mitzvah, you're hungry. So when you eat by Shalosh Shudas, when you may not be so hungry, so therefore, you're demonstrating that all three Sudos of Shabbos are L'shem Sudas Shabbos. So where do we see Mechevel Shemashiach? You're saved from that. Ksiv Hoch, it says over here, Yom. In regards to the Shabbos meals, Hayom, Yom, Hayom, three times, and Uksiv Hasim, it says in regards to Chevel Shemashiach, it says, Hinei Anachi Shalech Lechem Esel Yo Novi, Lifnei Bo Yom Hashem, Hagol Levi Anora. That's the Vekomer, and therefore it uses the word Yom over there, Lifnei Bo Yom, so therefore Yom, Yom, that is the first one. Second one, Medina Shal Gehenim, you'll be saved from being judged in Gehenim. So it says, Siv Hocha Yom, in regards to Hilchot Shabbos, we said Yom by the Mon. Siv Hosam, it says Yom Evra Hayomahu. That day of Gehenim is known as a day of Evra. Evra means kas, anger. And therefore, you're saved from it in this way. Where we see that, Ksiv Hocha Yom, by Mon, by Shabbos, it says Yom, Uksiv Hosam, Biyom Bo Gog. On the day that Gog, Melech Magog comes, so that day is also Yom. So therefore, it's the Kinegi, these three Yoms, the Kinegi, the three meals of Shabbos, you're saved from these three difficult things. Mark continues and says, I'm Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yossi, Rav Yochanan, Rav Yossi, If somebody delights in the Shabbos, what does that mean? We'll see in a moment. Person who does Onik Shabbos, again, according to many poskim, Onik Shabbos is a din d'oraisa, or at least certainly a din d'rabbanan. So a person has to go and delight the Shabbos, doing this by eating special foods on Shabbos and by wearing special clothing on Shabbos, etc. So call him ani gets the Shabbos, nosum lo nachla b'li mitzorim. Somebody who does this will have limitless, boundless types of nachala, of inheritance, of possessions. Shenemar. As the pasuk says, os tisaneg al Hashem. The pasuk is talking in the beginning of the pasuk about if you make Shabbos a tanog. So it says, "Oz tisaneg al Hashem." Then you have special tanog with Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Vir kafticho abomasi aretz. And in this situation, you'll be above the whole world. Abomasi aretz v'chalticho, and you'll be given lots of good things. We turn to the Amud Beis. Nachlas Yaakov v'vichva gomer. And this will be the Yerusha that you get from Yaakov Avinu. Now it says specifically Yaakov Avinu, lo kevram, and not like Rashi explains the nachla that was promised to Avram Yitzchak. The nachla that's promised to Yaakov is even greater. So lo kevram, not like the nachla that was given to Avram. He was promised because of Bo. It says by Avram Avinu, kumis alech baret liyor kol ruach bo luchot nena. That's the vagomer. So Avram was given Eretz Yisrael, but it was somewhat limited. It didn't say you'll go liyor kol ruach bo. However, not limitless. Veloki Yitzchak, and not like the bracha that was promised to Yitzchak. Shekso, it says by Yitzchak, ki luchol zarecho etein es kol haaretz osael, you'll get all of this land over here, but not limitless. Elakiyako, that we should be zocha, if we're doing proper Onik Shabbos, we'll get the promise, the Havtocha that was given to Yaakov Avinu. Shekosavu, it says, uforatzda, you'll go all over, yama v'keima v'tzafona v'negba, unlimited. It doesn't say it's going to be only in this land. It's going to say you walk in the land of Eretz Yisrael. It's going to be all over. So this will be a limitless type of a reward. And midah k'neged midah, if a person spends money on Shabbos, so that we know that's one of the things that a person is promised, that he, it's not in his salary for the year, so to say. If a person is on Rosh Hashanah allotted a certain amount of money, so the money that he spends on Shabbos is not included in that. So if a person skimps on Shabbos, he's only skimping on the extra bracha that he's given. It's not going to make him one iota richer, because the funds that a person spends on Shabbos are viewed separately. And therefore, this is a person who spends extra on Shabbos, so he's going to be given this extra reward promised to Yaakov Avinu. Similarly, Rav Nachman Yitzchak Amar, Nitzol Mishibud Golis, if a person does real Onik Shabbos, he's going to also be safe from going into Golis. How do we know that? Because it says over here, this is possible from Yeshayah that we just brought down. It says that you should be above the world. It says it says that there you'll be able to go and walk on all those people that are trying to go. You'll tidroch on all those people that are trying to go and give you trouble. In other words, you're not going to go into galus. Okay. Another statement, anybody that really does the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos, he'll get his heart's content. He'll get whatever he wants. He'll be filled all his requests. Shenemar, the pasuk says, "Vis anag al Hashem." If you go and do Onik Shabbos, you go and give Onik to Hashem. V'yitin l'cho mishalos libecho. Then you'll be given everything that you ask for. What is this Onik? Onik zeh eni yodei mahu. What exactly is the way that you should give Onik over here to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Shomer, it says by the Shabbos, it says v'karos al Shabbos Onik. You'll make Shabbos into an Onik. Heviomer zeh Onik Shabbos. This is referring to making Onik Shabbos. How? But ma'ango, how are you supposed to actually do Onik Shabbos? So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda b'rei de Rav Shmuel bar Shilas, he said, Mishmei de Rav, Omer, the following is the way to go and honor Shabbos by excellent special foods. He says, B'tavshil shel tardin, you should have these special beets over here. Rashi explains, Choshfu, this was a delicacy of their day. If you don't like beets, then it's not a din that you have to have beets. In fact, it's brought down Shulchan Aruch with all these things that we suggest that you have on Shabbos. If you have basar or dogim, all these things, it's all individual. They're just giving examples of things that many people like. But if a person doesn't particularly like fish, if a person doesn't particularly like these beets, so then there's no mitzvah to have them. In fact, you're not allowed to have them because it's going to make your Shabbos sad. So a person should have whatever delicacies want. They're giving us examples over here of what were delicacies. So betavshel shel tardin, these very choshev of beet dishes that they had, the dogim gedolim. Again, this is also a fancy type of a dish. The rosh shumin, and Rashi is also chashuvim. All of these are these rosh shumin, the shumin or garlic over here. So the heads of the garlic, these were all considered big delicacies. And if a person likes them, so then that's what a person should have. Again, critical to eat what you like and not something prescribed by others as saying this is a delicacy. If you don't think it's a delicacy, then not much of a delicacy then. Rav Chiya bar Ashi Amar Rav, he said in the name of Rav, Afilu Dover Mu'at, at least do something with L'Kovet Shabbos or so, but at least make sure you're doing it L'Kovet Shabbos. If you can't afford a lot, so do something, whatever you can. Some people I know, for example, they can't afford it, but they won't have soda during the week. They'll only have soda on Shabbos. They won't have a certain type of cake during the week. They'll only have it on Shabbos. That's called Onik Shabbos. That's called honoring the Shabbos with special delicacies. And even a Dover Mu'at, even a little something, L'Kovet Shabbos is a great thing. Hari's Onik. This is considered Onik. What would be an example of a little thing? Mahi. So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa said, Kasa the Harsana. Rashi explains, Kasa the Harsana is dogim kitanim, mitunogim ishemen. They're sweetened with some sort of oil, kirbein or kemach. Inside them, the inners, parts of the fish, and with flour. So this is a special type of a dish as well. Fine. Mara says, Amr Chiya Barabba, Amr Yochanan, another statement, Chiya Barabba said, Amr Yochanan, call him Shamir Shabbos Kilchosov. So anybody's really careful with Shmira Shabbos, Chavetz Chaim in his introduction to Hilcha Shabbos, and the Mishnah Berurah says, if you don't learn Hilcha Shabbos, you're never going to be able to be Makayim and be a Shomer Shabbos, right? A boor can't be a Shomer Shabbos. A person who's ignorant of the law can't be a Shomer Shabbos. So anybody who learns the laws of Shabbos, and he's Shomer Shabbos, Kilchoso, so Afilu Oved Avodah Zarah, even if such a person would, Rechmanu Litzlan, worship Avodah Zarah. So then, Kidor Enosh, like they did in the Dor of Enosh, Rashi reminds us, Hizchilu Avodah Zarah. The post says, Azuchal Likro V'gomer. So at that time, they introduced Avodah Zarah, so to say, into the world. So even if you have the sin of Avodah Zarah, Mochalo, you'll be somehow forgiven. That doesn't mean you can go worship Avodah Zarah and just be Shomer Shabbos, but it means even if a person somehow did something wrong in terms of Avodah Zarah, but if he's a Shomer Shabbos, Hashem will forgive him. How do we know this? Shnema, because the passage says, Ashrei Enosh Yasezos, the Gomer, and it says that it means Shomer Shabbos, the Gomer, Mechalo. So a person who's very careful about Shmir Shabbos, so he'll be prevented from being Mechal Shabbos. Now, Altikrei Mechalo, don't read the word like it literally is pronounced, Mechalo, from being Mechal Shabbos, doing Chilu Shabbos, Elo Mochulo. It's a play on the words Mechalo to be Mochulo, which means that you'll be forgiven. So if you're a Shomer Shabbos, you'll be forgiven for doing other sins, Rachmana Litzlan. Ari Yudam Rav, Yomali Shomer Yisrael Shabbos Vishon, if only Klai Yisrael had observed the first Shabbos that we were told to, right before Matan Torah, Lo Sholto Behen Umav Eloshem, that no nation would have been able to go and do anything to us. All the nations of the world, Uma, all the nations, Loshon, all the different people that speak different languages, they would not have been able to do anything to Klai Yisrael. We would have been unable to be harmed by anybody in the world. Shnema, as the apostle says, "Vahi bayom hashvi yatzu min amlo kol." We were told there's going to be a double portion coming down of the month on Friday. Don't go out to the field to collect it. We know Dawson and Avira went down to, they spread out the month on Friday. The birds came and eat it. That's why by Shabbos Shira, we have special recognition to the birds. But there were people that went down. Vahi bayom hashvi yatzu min amlo kol. They wanted to show Moshe Rabbeinu's not right. And Nebuchadnezzar says right after Ksuv Basrei, Vayavo Amalek. Amalek came right after that. So unfortunately, when we're not Shomer Shabbos probably, so then all this trouble started. If we'd only been Shomer Shabbos that first Shabbos, we would have done very well. If only Klai Yisrael reserved two Shabbos in a row, miyad nigolim, then immediately we would be goel. The Mashiach would come. How do we know this? Because the apostle says, "Call my Hashem l'sarisim." Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to the sarisim, the people that were mesuras, they were eunuchs. So asher yishmu shabbosai, anybody that observes my Shabbos, and then it says after that, uksim basrei, babiosim el hakodshi, the gomer, I will bring you to my special holy mountains, v'simachti b'beis tilosi olosechem zilchem l'ratzon. They will all be accepted al mizbechi. So that's what the pasuk is, the Vagomer, and this is telling us that when we observe Shabbos, if only we observe Shabbos, yishmu Shabbos osai, then we'll be zocha to immediately the Shechina coming and taking us out of this galus. Amr Yossi, Yossi says, now I have a whole bunch of statements that Yossi is going to say. I should be zocha to be amongst the people that eat the three meals on Shabbos. Again, you see this today. Out of all the meals, Shalosh Shudas has no luck, so to say. People always love to eat, right? That's not one of the difficult mitzvahs that we have. Except Shalosh Shudas. The one time you're told to eat and have special delicacies and have a nice Shalosh Shudas, so people go and say, damn, I'm not hungry, I don't want to wash. So is something that people step on. Challah Shudas is such a beautiful and easy mitzvah. We learned earlier in the Shia how important it is, how great the reward is, and yet the Tzaktan, he's Mekatre, he's always going against us and telling us, nah, you're not hungry, or you want to lose weight. So losing weight, your diet shouldn't be just you don't have Challah Shudas. So, he says, I should be Zochet to be amongst the people that observes the mitzvah Challah Shudas properly. Furthermore, Amar Yossi said, Yehechalki migomri halal b'choyo. I should likewise be amongst those that finish off halal every day. Or says, Yini, really? You're not supposed to eat halal every day. But Amar, we learned previously, Hakori halal b'choyo, harei ze mechorif v'magadev. If somebody reads halal every day, talking about the halal that we say on Shlosh Regalim, that we say on Rosh Chodesh, if somebody says that halal every day, what we call halal, so he reads it every day, he's blaspheming HaKodesh Baruch Hu. In other words, he's saying that there's no special Nisim in the world, because those are supposed to be said upon special Nisim. So how can you go and do this? He did it every day, Rabbi Yossi, and it says you're not supposed to do it. So he says, no, he's not talking about that halal. Ki Kamrino, he's talking about the halal in Psuka de Zimra. Rashi means, says, what does it mean, Psuka de Zimra? It means, the shnei mizmorim shel hilulim. The two psukim that talk about hilul, halalu es Hashem, in Hashemayim, and it says, halalu el bekodesho. So these two psukim in the Psuka de Zimra, that's what he's referring to. He's very careful to say Psuka de Zimra. So I thought also, this means people today, again, we have such a yetzahara to come late to shul. It's 2 extra minutes to say all the Psuk and the Zimra, but there's a whole simon in Shulchan Aruch that deals with what happens if you come late to shul, which kapitloch you can skip. So again, he said, I always make sure that I leave enough time to say all the Psuk and the Zimra. Amar Yossi, another thing that he said, Yechalki should be my, I should be the, in the Chalek from those people, in Mispalim in Dimdume Chama, that I should daven what's called Dimdume Chama. Rashi says, Kishi Adumu, when the sun is going up and the sun is going down, it's a little bit redder than it was in the middle of the day when it's like a perfect yellow. Kishi aduma shachris achrei heinotza, after the nates, after the sun comes up, I should daven Shmon Esri right then. That's kivasikin. They say Shema right before, and they say Shmon Esri right after the sun comes up. That's called imdimdu mecham in the morning, and at night v'arvit somuch l'shkiyosa, right before the sun's going down. So there is one opinion says that's the preferred time to daven mincha, right before the sun sets. Again, others that say daven mincha gedola, you can daven any time after mincha katana, and some say don't daven at the very end of the day because you may come to miss this man. In any event, Rav Yosef said I would bedavka do it. What's called imdimdu mechama, right in the morning after the sun rises, Shmona Esrei, and right before the sun sets, I say Shmona Esrei. Other statements that the Gemara tells us, Amar Rechia Barabba, Amar Yochanan, mitzvah l'spalal im dumdum mechama, that he says it's a special mitzvah to daven with this dumdum mechama, and the sun comes up in the morning, and the sun goes down at night when it's red. Amar Rezera, where does he get this from? My Kra. So Gemara says, Yeru'ucha im shemesh, you should see it in the shemesh, right? She says, im zrichasa, that means you should say Shmona Esrei right when the sun comes up, neitzachama. And at night, the lifnei yareach dor, right before the moon comes out, called them or hayareach ba'od hashemesh lo shoka. While the sun still has not fully gone down, that's when you should daven mincha. That's where Rav Yossi got this from. Amar Rav Yossi, another statement Rav Yossi said, yechalki mimeisei b'chol emiayim. It should be my portion from those people that I should die from intestinal illness. Why? So Rashi explains that shemisyasrin b'yisurin, that a person who has intestinal problems is very painful, very uncomfortable, and this way, umismarkin, I want to say it, they should suffer in this world, and therefore they'll be given less punishments in the world to come. They can only have the reward of the world to come because they got all their punishments ready in this world. That's Rashi's understanding, that you should suffer, so to say. So he says they should suffer in this world and not have to suffer in the world to come. Tosas is a different approach. Tosas, the top Tosas says that it means, he says from the Ri, kiyesh b'medrash l'marek achila min amayayim, that you should basically be doing a tahara on yourself. You know, when you do tahara, you wash the body. So a person who has an intestinal illness, some stomach will have diarrhea, and all the inner waste inside of him will come out, and if it will be nikiyim utahorim k'malachei asharis, he'll die and be tahara like the malachei asharis. He does like an internal tahara on himself. That's what Tosas, the Ri, says that Rav Yossi meant. Damamar, where do we get this from? The master said, Ruban shel tzaddikim meis mechol meyayim, that the great tzaddikim, they die from intestinal problems for the reasons either Rashi said or like Tosu said. Another statement that Rav Yossi said, Vamar Rav Yossi, Yechelkit should be my chelek mi meisei bederech mitzvah, that I should die while I'm doing a mitzvah. The person who's doing a mitzvah is a great way to die, that you should be leaving this world with a mitzvah, so to say, on your doing a mitzvah, and this is we're going to leave this world, so that's the best way to leave this world. person who is involved in doing a mitzvah, so he goes up to a Kodesh Baruch Hu, says, I was doing a mitzvah, I always wanted to do mitzvahs on this world. From Rav Yossi, another statement of Rav Yossi said, again, we have a whole series of statements from Rav Yossi. So it says, Yechalki mimachdisei Shabbos b'Tveria u'mimotzei Shabbos b'Tzipori. I should be from those people that accept Shabbos early, like they did in Tveria, and that they delay letting go of the Shabbos like the people in Tzipori. Why is that? So Rashi explains that they were at different altitudes. So in the lower countries, it looks like it's getting dark earlier. It really isn't, but they can't see the sun so clearly because the mountains block it. So they accept the Shabbos earlier in the lower-lying Tveria. And in the higher Tzipori, they can still see the sun. Even after the sun has really gone down, it's past the Shkia, but because they're high up, they can see it. So therefore, Rav Yossi said, I should be like those people that accept Shabbos early, and they keep Shabbos even longer. And again, this is the mitzvah Tosefes Shabbos. It's a very beautiful thing. Rabbi Yossi, another statement that he said, Yechalki mimoshive beis hamedrash v'lo mimamide beis hamedrash. There are those people that have to bring the people into the beis medrash. They go around, they knock on the doors and tell people to come to shul, and there are those people that say, no, the beis medrash is going to be closing up in 5 minutes, everybody has to leave. So he says, it's much better to be amongst those people whose job is to bring the people into the beis medrash than those people whose job is to tell the people that it's now time to leave the beis hamedrash. Rabbi Yossi, another statement Yossi said, Yechalki, I should be from those that are migabai tztaka, from ones that collect the money, below mimachalki tztaka, not from the ones that distribute the money. Why is this? So Rashi explains that there are two people that go collect the money, and that they're, you know, they're usually tzaddikim, they're honest people, and there's little chance that you'll do something wrong. But the people that have to distribute the tztaka, so there you need a beis din, so to say, you need three people to make sure that you're giving to the right people. And Rashi says there's a chance that a person will maybe be too generous for one person and too stingy for another person, and therefore you could run into trouble. So he says, much better for me to be amongst those that are considered honest and that I go collect the tztaka and not be amongst those people that give out the tztaka, because maybe they'll be held accountable for not giving out the tztaka properly. Finally, the Amr of Yossi, he says, the last statement, Yechalki mimi shechosh denoso, the ainbo. I should be from those people that people think I did something wrong, when in fact I didn't. Because in this way, the suffering that I'll get for the people thinking that I did something wrong, and the pain and the embarrassment they have, it should be also good for me that I'll get punished in this world and not have anything in the world to come to worry about. And again, that I shouldn't have done something wrong. That's even better, because if you do something wrong, you get punished. Okay, fine, but it's much better that if you didn't do anything wrong and you got punished, so that will in some way make sure that any punishment that you did deserve to get, you'll have it taken care of in this world and not in the world to come. And Amar Rapapa said, Lididi, this happened to me. Chashdan, people suspected me of doing something wrong, below Havibi, and in fact I wasn't. So there are a number of different interpretations as to what story Rapapa is talking about. The simplest one is the Gemara in Psachim, where there was a Gaita, a certain woman, who owed Rapapa money, and she couldn't pay him back, and she made up a whole plot over here. And some say she actually killed her son, or that her son died, and she just blamed Rapapa for it. And there was a whole discussion there. Rapapa was felt to be suspected of being a murderer. And in any event, so he said, that's exactly what happened to me. L'didi chashdan, they suspected me. But of course, I didn't do anything. More statements from Rav Yossi. I'm Rav Yossi. Chomesh b'ilos b'alti. 5 times I had relations, v'notati chamisha aroz miyisrael, and I was zocha to have 5 great sons, these 5 cedar trees, arozim, that I planted in Klai Yisrael with these 5 great sons that I had. Who are these 5 sons? Umay Inon, Mon Inon, who are they? Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, again, everyone is Rabbi Yossi, so Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Elazar is the gears that we have, others say it should be Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chalafta, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Aptilas, Rabbi Yossi, and finally, Rabbi Menachem, Rabbi Yossi, these 5 great sons that he had, he was zocha, he said, because he had 5 acts of tashmish. We're going to ask, obviously, that's all? That's the only time he had tashmish in his lifetime? We'll get to that in a moment. But first, the Gemara says he only had 5 sons? Well, he could Vardimus. There's another great son that he had, Vardimus, the Rav Yossi. So how can you tell me 5? There really were 6. The Gemara says, no, there really only were 5. Vardimus was also known as Menachem. Hainu Vardimus, Hainu Menachem. This son was known by 2 different names. And why was he called by 2 different names? Amai Korle Vardimas, his name was really Menachem. Why did they call him Vardimas? Because this comes from the word Vered. Shepanav Domin Leveret. His face was glowing like a rose. So his face was like a rose, and that's why he was called Vardimas. Okay. Gemara says, that implies that he only had 5 acts of bia, of 5 acts of living with his wife in his entire lifetime. Lememra, the Rav Yossi mitzvahs own Elokim, and the rest of the time when he was obligated to be with his wife, so he didn't have relations with her? Someone says, you're right. El Eimah, Chomesh Bilos Ba'alti Vishonisi. five times he had relations, and then again on the same night he had relations, as Rashi brings down. When you do this, Kadesh Yu Zichor, the Gemara tells us in Erevit that if a person wants to have great sons, so Yivol V'Yishni, he should have relations twice on the same night. And therefore, Rav Yossi said, I did this five times, and I was zochah to have five children, five great sons. Tosafot says it'll be a very interesting idea that he says, Yerushalmi, he brings down that these were five women who were Yevamos. Unfortunately, Rav Yossi must have had five brothers that died childless, and Rav Yossi had relations with each one of them through Yibam, but that's it. He only had relations with Yibam. He didn't want to have relations with them after that. Lorotzo Lekayim Behen Mitzvahs Ona, Elarakide Lekayim Mitzvahs Yibam, Dino Birishona. He only had Birishona, and then in the stomach he divorced them, but he did this with those five women. That's why he only had five times, one with each of them, and he was Shona. He had relations twice, and therefore he was Zocha to have these five sons through these five Yibams. Again, very unusual situation. Furthermore, the word says, I'm Rav Yossi, Miyama lo karisi li ishti ishti. I never called my wife my wife. Ulushor, I never called my ox my shore. Why? Because he says that's improper. You should understand the value of each. El li ishti besi, he called my wife the akeris habayis. He called her my house because she is the person responsible for making sure that the Jewish house is run properly. And likewise, Lashari, he didn't minimize the value of his shar. That's my field. Without my shar, I don't have a field. I can't take care of my field. So therefore, he understood the value of the possessions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. So a shar is a great possession that a person has. And he understood the value of having a wonderful wife. So he said, my wife is my house. That's the Akeris HaBayis. That's the critical thing. Furthermore, Rav Yossi, another statement, I never looked at my bris milah. Rashi says, a lashon of tznius over here, that he was extra careful in tznius. He didn't look at his git. He didn't look at his bris milah. Mor says, really? Then why is he not called Rav Yossi HaKodesh? Any? Because if this were true, of Amulei or the Rebbe, they asked Rebbe, my time of Koro Lucha Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Why was Rebbe known as Rabbeinu HaKadosh? And he told them, Amalo, Miyam Alon Estakalti, but Milishli, because I never looked at my Mila. I had this higher level of Tznias. So how come we don't call Rav Yossi, Rav Yossi HaKodesh, HaKadosh? So the Gemara says, Bi Rebbe Milsachrit Yavabe. No, you misunderstood. That statement the Rebbe said, Miyam Alon Estakalti, Milishli, that wasn't why he was called Kadosh. Shalo Hichnis Yodo Tachas Avneto. He never put his hand underneath his belt. In other words, he never touched himself when he would have to go to the bathroom, as we learned. You're not supposed to touch yourself. So he was extremely careful, never even to have his hands below his waist. And in this way, he was so careful. I remember hearing from Rabbi Pfeiffer, Olav Shalom, one of the Rabbeim, when I was growing up in the Young Israel of Kew Garden Hills when we were first married. So he was the Rav who gave the Hashkamashir. He's a wonderful man. He's nifted already for many years. And he then said that he heard the story himself personally about the Stipler Gaon. The Stipler Gaon was a great, great person. This is Rav, the Chazon Ish's brother-in-law, Rav Chaim Kanievsky's father, the Stipler Gaon. And he said that the person who did the Tahara on the Stipler told him this. The Stipler was also known as the Holy Stipler. And at the Tahara, his hands were held up in like a position where his hands were up near his face. So his elbows were belt. So they tried to pull his hands down to let his hands go, and they would go below the waist. They would be stretched out. And this was the stipler after he died. So his hands kept on coming back up. And it wasn't rigor mortis. It wasn't they were going back up. So they understood that during his lifetime, he never put his hands below his belt as well. This is a holy person. This is a person that's constantly aware of Kedusha and Tahara. More continues another statement, Rabbi Yossi, Miyamai lo ro, Koros Basi, Imre Chalukai. I was very careful. I got dressed and undressed. People were not careful about this. But a person, when he gets dressed, he should make sure that he doesn't reveal anything more than is necessary. So what Rabbi Yossi would do was that he would make sure that when he took off his clothing, he didn't take it off inside out, and therefore his body was revealed. So he would cover himself up and slip it off over his head, so it never was inside out, like we normally would take it off, and therefore he was, again, practicing this extra sneers. Another statement from Yossi, he said, I never went against what my chaverim said. I was always interested in shalom between the great Talmidei Chachamim, and if they said boo, I said boo. They said jump, I jumped. I know I'm not a Kohen, yet. If they told me to go up in Duchen with the Kohanim, I would go up. Tosus asks over here, no, what's the problem with that? So Lyodari, Tosus says, my Yisiyesh was there. What's the big deal? Hold on Duchen. He must have not said the bracha. And then Marsha says he didn't say anything. He would go up there because his friends told him to go up there. He didn't want to cause fights, but he wouldn't say anything. In any event, That's how far I would go. If they told me to go up, I'm Yola. Furthermore, I never had to say anything and look around to see who was listening to me. I would be able to say anything in front of anybody. If somebody asked me, did you say that? I would say yes, because I would say it to you in your face as well. Rashi brings down that it's not called Lashon Hara. You say it under certain circumstances, if you say it in front of three people, so then it's as if you're saying it right to the person yourself. So he would give tochacha, let's say, to somebody. He said, I never had to worry about who was listening because I would be willing to say it to that person themselves. I was very careful in what I said. I would never say anything that I would regret. I would never say anything that I wouldn't be willing to say to the person themselves. Now we go back that not only Rav Yossi, but Rav Nachman says also, I should be rewarded for being amongst those people that are Zohir in Shalosh Shuras. Very important to be Zohir in Shalosh Shuras. I'm very careful with Ian Tvila to go and have Kavanah in Tvila. Tosus points out there's a good Ian Tvila and then there's a bad Ian Tvila. The bad Ian Tvila is a person says, oh, what a great Shachris, now you owe me HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That type of Ian Tvila is no good. But if a person concentrates on the davening, that's of course proper. I'm a Rufuna Brady Rav Yeshua. Rufuna said in the name of Yeshua, Taisili, I should be rewarded the low Sagina Arba Amos Megili Rosh. I never walked with my head uncovered more than Dalet Amos. So if my head became uncovered, I would stop until I covered my head. Similarly, I'm a Rishayshes, Taisili, the kindness of Tvilin, that I owe a Tvilin. Of course, everybody has Tvilin. So it says that he never even went Dalet Amos without wearing his Tvilin. You're supposed to wear your Tvilin all day long, and he wouldn't go even Dalet Amos without wearing his Tvilin, Rashi says. I'm a Rabbanachman, Taisili, the kindness of Tzitzis. Same thing with Mrs. Tzitzis and Tvilin, that he wouldn't go even more than Dalet Amos without wearing his tzitzis. And I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Berei de Rabba. Rav Yosef said to a different Rav Yosef, the Rav Yosef who was the son of Rabba, Avuch, your father, but my Zor Tvei, what was Rabba, your father, so careful about? How was he Zor in doing mitzvah? So I'm Alei. So this Rav Yosef, who was the son of Rabba, told Rav Yosef, who was a contemporary of Rabba, and he says, Bitzitzis. He was very careful about wearing tzitzis. In fact, Yom Echad, one day, have a kosolik bedargi, he was going up a ladder, and ifsik lechuta, and one of the tzitzis got somehow caught on the ladder, and it ripped. So he didn't move from there. Lo noches, but also, he didn't go down from the ladder, kamo de lo ramya, until he fixed the tzitzis and tied another tzitzis over there on that corner. Similarly, Yom Rabbi Abaye said, Tezili, the chi chazina tzuvim rabbanon, the shlim masechta. Whenever I see a young Talmud Chacham, then he finishes the masechta. So, avina yom atal rabbanon. I made a yontif for that rabbi. I was very happy for him. This is something that people sometimes, okay, they're happy for themselves, but they're not happy for other people. So he was so happy that other people were learning, and he made a yontif, he made a special suda. This is one of the sources that we have for making a siyam and a suda smitzvah. Amar Rava said, Tehisili, I should get reward from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechi Asa Tzuvim Rabbanon L'Kamay L'Dina, whenever a Talmud Chacham would come to me to be judged, so lo mazigna reishe abe sadja, I did not put my head down on the pillow, be sadja we had previously was the pillow, until kama delo mafichna b'skuse, I would go and check over the case real well. Not that he would chas v'shalom in any way do the din improperly, but he made sure that he judged it right away. In other words, he wouldn't go to sleep. He would finish off the case and make sure that he judged it carefully and properly to make sure that the Talmud Chacham's din was taken care of properly. Similarly, Amar Mar Baravashi, Pesilnu Leil Litzuvim Mirabon Ladino, I'm not allowed to go and be a judge because I'm an ogabadover when it comes to a Talmud Chacham. Why? My timer, the Chavivi Alaiki Gufoy, because I consider every Talmud Chacham so special and dear, so it's like they're a Karov, they're like a relative of mine, and I can't judge them. The Ein Odom Roa Chov Oliatzmo, and if they're like myself, if I treat them so nicely, so then I'm possible to be their judge, because like a person can't be a judge for himself, a person can't be a judge for a relative, so I consider these Talmidei Chacham to be so special and so important, therefore it's as if I can't actually be a judge for them. Well, this will conclude today's shiur. Again, I want to say that I owe everything to my mother and to my father, and learned the shiur Li'ili Nishmas. Today's the yahrzeit of my mother, Zion Tamas, Chana Bas Meir Avram. Her holy neshama, Shabbat Aliyah, along with all the other people that we've learned for. Have a great day.